Welcome to Microbrew, Milwaukee Brewers Chatter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Spring training is upon us. We've got games this weekend that are going to be available to watch. Pretty exciting if you're a baseball fan. It always is this time of year. And we got to talk about what we've seen at camp so far. My name is J.R. Radcliffe with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I am joined by Kurt Hoge, Brewers beat reporter for the same Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Now, Kurt, not yet down in Arizona. Our colleague Todd Rosiak has been there reporting from the scene. That it's going to happen for you soon is my belief, my understanding of the situation. But we have some storylines to report. So as you have you packed, Kurt, is obviously the most important thing. Are you ready to go to where there is, you know, no threat of cold weather at any point?
No, I have not packed.
Are you a night before packer?
No. So last year I packed like 2 weeks out.
Really?
And it was a disaster because I had no clothes for 2 weeks.
Yeah, you should have not done that. What made you think that was a smart idea?
I had no garments for my feet.
Wasn't it really cold last year?
Or was it 2 years ago? It was a chillier spring training, yeah. Before I got there, it was legitimately, I don't want to say legitimately cold because I am of the north as well. But for Arizona, it was like in the 40s, highs in the 50s, so...
Yeah,
that's pretty rough,
and that's tough for them.
It was up and down throughout the time I was there. A lot of jackets, all days. Yeah,
I don't feel sorry for Arizonans at any point when they get down into the 50s. Not really, but whatever. It's great podcasting when we talk about weather and what to look forward to and when you pack. And I just really had to check all those boxes before we get to the good stuff. Foot garments. I don't really understand what that means. Are those slippers? Is that what we're talking about? Socks?
Socks.
Okay. Packing 2 weeks before leaving is ridiculousness. I don't know why anyone would do that.
It doesn't take that long to pack. It was insane behavior by me.
I pack – when I go someplace, it takes me – 20 minutes is the absolute maximum amount of time I need to pack my stuff. I'm sure some people are longer. I think an hour is fine, but I don't get it. I don't get why that takes people so long. Maybe it's just because I dress pretty basically, and it's like, which polo shirts will I bring on the trip this time, and which pairs of jeans will I wear? They all look the same, but let's pick a couple.
That's because you got no drip.
So. I do not have drip. That is true. That is one thing I absolutely agree with you on. I am not... Not the most aesthetically pleasing in any way, shape, or form.
Speaking of which, do you remember which reporter Devin Williams said was the best dressed on the Brewers beat last year?
I don't, but it has to be you, or you would not ask this question. Did he really say that about you?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, he first asked if Sophia counted, and I said, no, of course not, because she would be the obvious answer.
Of course
answer.
She would win. Yes, 100%.
So we can't actually let the winner win.
Love it when the best dressed and the worst dressed come together for a podcast, and that is what is happening for you people today. The news of the day is Brandon Woodruff is back, baby. I mean, he signed a two-year deal with a mutual option for that third year. He's going to be getting paid very little money for this next year, which makes sense because we may not see him at all, probably will not see him at all during the 2024 season, but it is a little bit of a retainer fee to bring him back in 2025. Now, Gary Sanchez, that was also announced as official on Wednesday, but I think we have talked about Gary Sanchez. That was the longest gestating roster addition in the history of the Milwaukee Brewers, so we can touch a little bit on that. It's a little bit less money than we initially thought because of a wrist issue that popped up during the physical, but Brandon Woodruff is a cool one. We have expressed how much we love that guy. He's fantastic. When he's healthy, he's a tremendous pitcher as well. Last year, even when he was not healthy most of the season, he still managed to make an impact. This deal, Kurt, that he got, I don't know how you could say anything bad about it for the Milwaukee Brewers standpoint. I mean, I feel like Brandon Woodruff could have gotten a lot more money if he had just gone somewhere else. It sounds like Brandon Woodruff was prepared to go somewhere else, had been discussing it with another team, was ready to pull the trigger, and then this opened up, and now the Brewers have, you know, I would say this is a really nice... really, really upgrading what you can expect from them in the next couple years, you know, thinking he'll be here next year and then maybe even the year after that. So what are your thoughts on this? I mean, it honestly looks like a complete slam dunk. Maybe I'm misreading the fine print a little bit.
Yeah, we'll see how the health turns out because as we've talked about, the shoulder, that's a serious injury.
Yeah,
we never know exactly how guys and their velocity is going to come back from that. But yeah, knowing everything we know about Woodruff, and the person he is and the pitcher he is, absolute slam dunk. You certainly, like, the reaction you see from other teams' fans is, you know, why couldn't we have done this? Why right. didn't we pay up? We couldn't have paid that money. And I think the answer is yes, you could have, but you are not the place that Brandon Woodruff wanted to be.
For sure.
That's what this essentially comes down to in my mind, is there were a lot of teams that would have loved to have Brandon Woodruff basically pitching 1 year for $17 million, and then not even having to pay that, you know, the bulk of that money, it's going to be the $10 million buyout, until afterwards, when you have shed already a lot of your previous payroll contracts, like Rhys Hoskins, the Dead Williams will be off the books. A lot of teams would have done that. But there were not a lot of places that Brandon Woodruff wanted to go and spend his year rehabbing, you know, spend an entire year at behind the scenes working with trainers and putting the future of his career, you know, in those people's hands, essentially. So yeah, it makes a lot of sense for Brandon Woodruff to want to come back when you think of it that way. And also, I mean, this is just a guy putting his money where his mouth is. He talked about wanting to be a Brewer a long time, talked about really loving it here. And when presented with an opportunity to legitimately stay here for at least a couple more years and try to, you know, get his career back on the track that it has been and very well could continue on, he absolutely did it. I mean, he's, in the grand scheme of things, barely getting paid for MLB, like an MLB player scale, yeah. Barely getting paid this year, barely getting paid next year when he's going to be pitching. Now, there's going to be some back end money there, but still, this is a guy who wants to be in Milwaukee and is taking a little bit of a discount to be where he wants to be.
Oh, a big one. A lot of a discount. I mean, honestly, it's hard to even, not that you want to look at it this robotically, because it stinks that he has an injury that's going to keep him out of all 2024, but the Brewers end up coming out ahead. The fact that he got hurt, like the fact that they could have him on their roster 2025 and 2026 at reasonable rates, full strength, is an incredible, and, you know, if it doesn't work out injury-wise, the Brewers still didn't have a lot to lose there in terms of financial commitment. So just, it's just wild how it unfolded, but it ended up working out for the Brewers, I think.
I kind of compared him to Aaron Jones. He's like the Brewers version of Aaron Jones. And the thing with Aaron Jones on the Packers is, like, he just kind of sticks around. There's, like, going in every year, like, oh, this could be the end of it for him. And the contracts keep on coming. And that could very well be the case. We'll see how Woodruff pitches when he's back next season.
Yeah.
But he'll hit free agency again. But I would not be totally stunned to see him re-up with the Brewers again if he's pitching well.
Yeah, and like Aaron Jones, he's really good.
He's really good. And the person, yeah, the off-the-field match is perfectly as well.
For sure. Yeah, the Brewers are lucky here. This is a good situation. He's great. We've expressed how great he is in the clubhouse, and certainly with us, which, you know, we only get a slice of life, so it's hard to really say, hard to really ever opine on a player's character or whatever, but he's as close as you're going to get to somebody that everybody universally loves. So this is a cool thing to have him back, although, again, not for 2024. Now, the players that we know are going to be here for 2024, they're all in Arizona working out. We've had a couple eye-opening surprises. One of them is a guy we thought was going to be in the outfield playing on the infield, and seemingly, earnestly, you know, seemingly they're going to have him start. I'm talking about Sal Frelick, who's...
Oh, I thought you were talking about Blake Perkins, shortstop. Oh,
is Blake Perkins playing shortstop? No, I haven't seen that. That'd be amazing.
Blake Perkins, you.
Shortstop, let's go. as no offense to Blake Perkins' offense, but it's bad. So I don't think that's I think if you're going to use him, you're going to use him for his center field defense. He's a great guy, but like offensively, we have not seen it yet. But he's a great defensive center field.
I'm going to get a Blake Perkins comment in. I had someone involved in the organization say last year that Blake Perkins might be the best defensive center fielder on the planet.
I mean, that's big, but like defensive metrics love him.
It's a lot to consider.
Defensive metrics love him. And that did catch me by surprise. Like halfway through the year, it's like, oh, they think Blake Perkins is one of the best center fielders in the baseball, which I had not considered. But like, then you think about it, it's like, he does. Like, yeah.
You don't see it very often. Like, he didn't play a ton, but he can yeet the ball too. Anyway, JR.
I think this has to do with Blake Perkins, because if Sal Frelick is your third baseman, Blake Perkins makes the roster, man. He may make it regardless.
I think it has more to do with Bryce Terang.
Okay, tell me about that.
I mean, I feel like the parallels are pretty easy to see here. It's, you know, second base is a bit more of a question mark than maybe we thought, you know, the Brewers saw it as. Third base is certainly a question mark. You have guys there that you feel decent about, but it's still a question mark. So maybe you add Sal Frelick into the mix, see if he can actually play one of those spots decently. I still think, like, when you look at third base, unless you're really trying to squeeze his bat in the lineup as like a 800 OPS kind of guy, I don't know if third base makes a ton of sense, especially compared to second base. I think second base makes a lot more sense. It's easier to play. In theory, it's easier to play.
And you can absorb lesser offensive contribution.
Yeah, Frelick doesn't have the greatest arm, so second base makes more sense, and you can absorb the contributions a little, if like the contributions are lesser. Yeah, you can absorb them. Yeah. And also, like, the incumbent there is Bryce Terang, a lefty who did not hit at all last year. I think the third base picture is a little, like, they're just a little better off with some hodgepodge of Monasterio and Tyler Black and Owen Miller if he makes the team.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know who I want to be the third baseman is somebody that we talked about two weeks ago. We said, all right, if 2 weeks go by, you said, and obviously we were just throwing out a timeline, we have no idea, but like 2 weeks go by, it makes it much more likely that Matt Chapman is in play for any team, but maybe the Brewers, who have a clear-cut opening at third base. Matt Chapman is one of four players who are represented by agent Scott Boras who have not yet signed. Here we are on February 22nd, and four very important free agents have not yet signed: Blake Snell, Jordan Montgomery, Cody Bellinger, and Matt Chapman. Matt Chapman plays a spot the Brewers could use. If we have gotten to the point where guys like those four guys are going to be accepting short-term deals as a means of further upping their value, then I cannot imagine a scenario where the Brewers would not be interested, because they don't have a third baseman. They've got possibilities here, but they've got Sal Frelick. I mean, we'll talk more about that, but like, is that going to work? Like, he doesn't play the infield. He didn't play the infield in college. Like, that seems like a reach. It seems like they're just trying to like give him more versatility and some possibilities late.
Yeah,
games,
as an
maybe.
Option. Yeah, it gives you an option. Yeah.
I mean, Matt Chapman's a legit third baseman, great defensive third baseman who can also hit a little bit. Like, I still feel like, and maybe I am just down, I mean, I've got no reason to believe that this could happen.
You are. Your head's in the clouds, but that's okay.
It is. Yeah.
That's okay.
It just would fit so well if they can make it work. And they don't have a high payroll right now. They're not breaking their bank.
No, they don't. So Chapman is, I think, if you look at the Boras four, which, by the way, this is going to be a legacy month for Boras.
Mm-hmm.
It's either everyone right now, including myself, is like, buddy, what are you doing? How are you going to pull this off?
Yeah.
You just had these guys wait and wait. He's got to come through. He's got to come through for his guys. I'm curious to see what
happens. Major League Baseball messing with him? Is that what's happening?
Yes, it has to be, right? To some degree. Like, I don't act like I can know the insides of the Cubs working.
Of course not.
But right now, they're basically sitting back and being like, at least, you know, publicly, who knows what they're doing behind the scenes. But it feels like they're sitting back and saying, we are not going to bid against ourselves. Come to us when you want to play ball. And the Yankees are kind of doing the same thing with Snell. But I do think out of those four guys, Chapman, right, makes the most sense for a pillow deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Snell is coming off has won two Cy Youngs, won it last year.
Right.
Cody Bellinger, like, this guy was rumored to make he won $200 million. You don't just take a pillow deal after that.
No.
And then Montgomery, this is the peak of his value, too. World 100%. Series hero. He could, I mean, I could see him taking one, but if it does, it's going to be with the Rangers, right? Like a 2-year deal.
You would think.
So Matt Chapman does make, I think, by far the most sense on some sort of 1-year, 25 deal. Now, that would put the Brewers over high 130s range.
Yeah.
It's
a pretty big jump. Pretty big jump.
Which that's more than they've probably put on opening day ever, maybe. Maybe like 2021 or 2019. 2019, maybe.
Yeah.
But either way.
They have traditionally, like, slowly but surely built up their payroll. It's just that they have pulled back a little bit. Yes. And, yeah,
they
to
could
go
do
from
– they could do it. Let's be clear about that. They could do it. I just don't think they will.
They have renewed savings in the fact that they knocked some base salary off of Gary Sanchez's deal. You know, Brandon Woodruff is not going to cost them a ton. That's not a bank breaker. and they've got a lot of young talent. Like this, and you know, they've got guys to play third base after this season. It's not like you bring Matt Chapman in for anything other than the year you need him. And I don't know.
And when you don't have to pay as many parking attendants.
Oh boy, yeah, with our automated parking system. A lot going on at American Family Field this year. There's going to be some stuff that we're going to have to get into when we get closer, like what's new about American Family Field and that parking thing. We've talked about it before, but that's going to be a wild ride.
Is the scoreboard up yet? Do we know if the scoreboard
I don't think it is. They'd send out photos if it was, don't you think? They'd have it all set up and propped up. I don't know. It's hard to really see from the places where I drive by.
I'm unclear on how long it takes to install the scoreboard.
Me too. It's a big fella, so it's going to take a hot minute. Sal Frelick at third base. Is that – what do you – I know you're not down there. You're not talking to Pat Murphy or the players, but, like, does that – do you think that's going to work? Like, again, he did not play there in college. This is it feels like we have a lot of outfielders. I know you mentioned Terang, and you mentioned they just have this opening, but, like, I don't know, man. I have a hard time believing this is something that can truly work. Like, I guess we'll see.
So I think it kind of will. Like, I think Sal Frelick can play infield.
Okay.
I don't know why, but I've always thought this.
Okay.
He's just a good athlete. He's smooth. Maybe it's because he's shorter. That's honestly probably why. I don't know ball. But he looks like a second baseman.
Yeah.
But I think he can play a passable second base. And I don't know what the ramifications are going to be on the opening day roster or on the roster throughout the season if that comes into play. But I do think he's got the capability of playing it for sure. And it is a bit of an eye opener for sure that the Brewers are it's not like they have a shortage of infielders. Last year they moved Owen Miller to the outfield during spring training. And it was like, oh yeah, okay, that makes sense. They have him and Tyler Naquin out. That's like that's it, and Sky Bolt. Yeah. Okay, yeah, I could see why you'd put a good athlete out there. They got dudes. Vinny Capra is still on the 40-man, right?
Yeah, as far as I know.
Jemai
Jones is the guy who just went off the 40-man. Yeah. But
They got infielders. They have bodies. They're choosing to one of the top outfield prospects at infield.
Right. What you're saying is they're not they believe in Sal Frelick specifically, that they think he could do this. They want him.
Yeah, they
in the
believe in Sal Frelick specifically and aren't entirely sure if, you know, their current infield picture is it.
Right. Yeah, we'll have to see. I think you're right that it has something to do with what's going on with Bryce Terang and some insurance policy there, I suppose. With Sanchez's arrival, even though that took a while to get there, the Brewers now have two kind of clear-cut catchers on the roster with William Contreras. But I did see Bob Nightingale kind of mention that Eric Haase would possibly still make this team as a third catcher. Does that vibe with you? Is that something you think the Milwaukee Brewers would do? That would be unusual to me.
Yes, I could see them trying to do it, like to keep him in the organization, similar to what they did with Pedro Severino when he came off his PED suspension.
Sure.
I don't think it's the right move, depending on if you're comfortable with Gary Sanchez, like actually catching. And if you're not, why did you sign him?
Right. Right. Cause if Contreras is your DH every day
Now Frelick's positional versatility certainly opens some doors. If you've got a guy that can play infield and outfield. But the question for me is, like, what does this do to Jake Bowers? Because I don't think you can operate a roster functionally with a third catcher and Jake Bowers.
Yeah.
And I think Jake Bowers makes this team.
Mm-hmm. Also have options.
Exactly. So that's why you create a bit of a conundrum. Okay, you look at it, all of a sudden, how many position players do you roster? 13? That sounds right. Yeah. So you've got your 8 in the field, and then you've got 2 catchers, so that puts you up to 10. Then Jake Bowers puts you at 11, and Jake Bowers can't play anywhere. So now you've got 2 guys on the bench to cover the entirety of the field. Just leaves you a little slim, especially with how they're going to, you know, platoon some of these bats and pinch hit for some of these bats late in games. Like Bryce Terang's not going to face a lefty late in the game.
Right.
You know, Joey Weimer, if there's a lefty coming up out of the bullpen, Joey Weimer would come, like just things like that. You would have almost no flexibility.
Right. And does Joey Ortiz then, like, he's one of the guys you're counting to make the team in this
Joey
series,
Ortiz
right?
got to make. Yeah, I think yeah, he has. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I think so too.
I think Tyler Black is probably on the outside looking in.
Right. Not, and he is he on the 40? He is not on the 40, man. So that's a pretty big hurdle at this point when you haven't yet made your major league debut.
Yeah, so, I mean, by the end of spring, like, there's probably some injuries that you can clear some spots, or you'll just be DFAing Eric Haas or someone like that. But
yeah,
that's the other thing with Haas too, is it's a split contract. So he would have to clear waivers to remain in the organization, and maybe they don't want to lose him for nothing. But if he's in the minor leagues, or you just cut it, like if he's in the minor leagues, he just gets paid the minor league portion of his contract. You're not on the hook for the whole mill. So. Yeah.
I think you said Eric Hosmer. Maybe you didn't, or I heard it as such instead of Eric Haas. And then I was like, did the Brewers sign Eric Hosmer on like a minor league deal or something? Is that has that happened
that
I missed
it? That would be bad. You're tired.
That's what I thought, but I was like, I don't know. There's always a group of players that, you know, were good and kind of are still hanging around or filtered out. And you're not really sure where these guys are in their career. You never know.
Yeah, like guys like Keston Hira.
Has Joey Votto signed, by the way, before we talk about Keston Hira again?
No.
Interesting. Keston Hira, now a member of the Detroit Tigers, along with Mark Canna. So former beloved Brewers are going to be spending some time in Michigan. Yeah, Joey Votto hasn't signed. That's interesting to me. There are still a lot of guys that haven't signed. They're all going to – I mean, you're still getting – you know, Ahmed Rosario just signed, and Gio Urshela just signed. These are very serviceable players. They're not stars, of course, but – very serviceable players, in addition to the four stars that are still out there. Wild stuff. What else did I want to ask you about?
Pants.
Man, these uniforms are bad. Wow. It's become one of those things that usually when there's this much chorus around something, it's like it's not as bad as people are making it out to be. But these uniforms are bad.
I don't think there's enough noise around it.
I think you might be right. Yes.
There needs to be a revolt from the players.
Yeah, the quality of uniform around Major League Baseball and on the shelves for fans is...
Hey, on the bright side, baseball fans, you can wear what the players wear now. Actually, it's the opposite. The players can wear what you wear.
It's definitely the opposite. You can look like a big leaguer because they look just like you.
High school baseball teams have somehow figured out how to have pants.
That don't show their, you know, underwear.
Not translucent.
Translucent pants season. Oh, we got to get away from that. Mark Adonazio has met the media in Arizona, had some remarks, and also spoke to our Todd Rosiak as well in a one-on-one setting. Anything that he said that jumps out at you, or anything that, you know, was different from maybe what you'd expect, or was that a pretty run-of-the-mill Mark Adonazio press availability?
Well, the standard has been set at losing an entire community this offseason. So I'm going to say that was pretty run of the mill. There's like some comments about, I think there's some, the Brewers feel a little bit of disrespect right now. Mm-hmm. They're feeling themselves just a little bit, at least within the confines and the context of the NL Central. They're like, wait a second. We are the team that has been the best team for the last six seasons.
Yeah.
Why don't we get treated as such? So I think there's a bit of that permeating. Christian Yelich, it kind of seeped through with him as well. I think Pat Murphy's probably the guy to, you know, get the most out of that, or at least like get some runway out of it with the players. I don't know if council exactly would use like the disrespect. I don't know if the disrespect card is in his arsenal.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think
Pat Murphy could fire me up. Like a
yes. He's given quite the speech that has been making the rounds. He's on a Brewers scooter going around practice. Pat Murphy is definitely soaking it in. He's definitely one of the stars of spring training thus far. I think Brewers fans are really going to respond to him as a character.
Hockey style for you. Who are your three stars of spring training?
Oh, yeah, three stars of spring training. Well, I kind of want Frelick in there just as somebody with the whole playing in the infield.
Uh-huh.
Feels like something that so Pat Murphy would certainly be. Is it my three star, my one star? I'm not super familiar with the hockey thing. First, I think that means your first star
is the top. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So first star is unquestionably Pat Murphy. Who is who goes then with Frelick? I don't know. Have we had any good quotes? Have we had somebody that's just really you know, really delivered the goods thus far?
Well,
I don't know.
Andre Monastère is in the best shape of his life.
Okay. We always have a couple of those guys.
It could be Todd Rosiak. 2023 Wisconsin sports writer of the year. he's working. It could be Jacob Mizorowski. There's buzz around the Miz.
I think we could go that route. I think we could go Miz. Yeah. We go Frelick 2, Miz 3. That's where
it hasn't fallen on Jack Churio yet.
No, we haven't.
But it likely will once games begin.
Totally agree. Yep, totally agree. They play the Padres on Saturday, so that's going to be an opportunity to see Frelick on the infield, to see Jackson Churio in a Brewers lineup. We've had that opportunity before in spring training, but there's obviously a little bit more spotlight on it than it would be normally. What are things you still want to know about? And I can tell you, I can give you one right off the bat, is where we're at with Aaron Ashby. You know, like, how healthy is he? What is his prognosis? Do we think he's going to be in the opening, you know, starting rotation to start the season? That's a big one. That's something I still don't know a lot about. What else? I mean, you're going to be getting down there soon. You're going to have some questions. What's still on your agenda at this point?
William Contreras, what are your emoji tweets about?
We have to know. I'm freaking out every time the eyeball emojis come rolling in.
I'm not exaggerating either.
You're gonna talk to him. Do you think the most recent one was because they were about to sign Gary Sanchez? That feels like that could have something to do with it.
Possibly.
I don't know, man.
Possibly. Legitimately, I would say, what changes are they looking to make with DL Hall?
We haven't heard much from him.
You get a new guy in the system with that much stuff, and you have a team that has, you know, the pitching lab and does what they do with pitching development. I would be curious to see what the Brewers have in mind for him. Whether it's, I don't think he really needs to tweak a ton in like the arsenal or pitch usage, but he's got to improve in some areas. That's near the top of the list for me,
yeah,
for sure.
You are the world's foremost Joey Weimer fan coming into last season, I would say.
Yes. Thank you for bringing this up. People are talking.
Yes. He has changed his batting approach, which everyone knew had to happen, I think, for him to have a sustained career in the big leagues. We've only seen snippets of it. Who knows? Who knows what to expect out of it? But I don't know. That's something. You know, you might see a more refined approach there.
There's certainly no guarantee that it works. Like, it could just make things worse, because you have to think too, like, you want a player to remain close to or similar to the thing he did that made him successful all the way coming up. So you don't want to deviate too much and like force a player to do something that's uncomfortable. But Joey Weimer needs to hit the ball in the air.
Yeah.
And he needs to be able to stay on some sort of like outside slider to some degree. And doing the thing where he would flick his hands all the way down to literally parallel with the ground the bat would be, was not it.
Yeah.
Simply was not it. It felt like he just went too far in one direction. Good band, by the way, with it.
And now he didn't know he was beautiful.
Now he's returning to the Mac.
That's not. No, Jesus. We really botched that. We should just cut that out entirely. All of it. The One Direction reference, return to the Mac.
I should probably get fired.
I feel like we are now playing a drinking game with ourselves, where it's like, Keston Hira, let's chisel in a Keston Hira reference. Let's chisel in a Return of the Mac reference. What else do we have?
I want to be very clear. The Keston Hira reference was
organic.
No. That was not organic this time.
Okay.
Product placement.
Okay, that's fantastic.
That I'm not getting paid for.
Oh, yeah. That's
Speaking of product placement.
Mm.
JR's currently taking a sip of Pepsi.
A delicious afternoon Pepsi for this edition of Micro Brew. When do you leave? Do you leave next week?
I will leave 2 Wednesdays from now.
Oh, not till then. So we have a lot of runway to go.
Yeah, that's right. 2 Wednesdays from now.
Okay.
I still got a long, long way to go in annoying my wife.
Yes.
Having my kid scream no at me.
Have you formulated any, before I let you go, any surprises yet that you think, based on the early intel, anything that's really going to maybe catch us off guard as we get closer? And I'll give you an example from what happened last year. We weren't talking about Bryce Terang at this time last year as like the opening day second baseman. And all of a sudden that became very real, very fast. Is there something that we're missing that's going to become very real, very fast?
Yes.
Tell me.
I don't know.
You're just saying yes in general, not specifically
be,
what.
Okay, there needs to be more Jake Bauer's discourse. I'll start there.
You have brought him up many times. Is he your new Keston Hira?
No.
Okay.
How could you?
I'm sorry. My fault. Blasphemy, et cetera, et cetera. But Jake Bauer's, like we've said a couple times, is probably going to make this team. They did not bring him in to just like as a camp body. They think he's going to make this team.
Yes, there are certainly other options that you could assign to like minor league deals that can play first base and were bad last year but have some interesting upside that you would not have had to give up multiple prospects for and paid a guaranteed $1 million+ salary.
Yeah, that was a lot. They gave up a lot for him.
I mean, he until they signed Rhys Hoskins, which was late in the offseason, he was the first baseman. I think there was probably always a plan to supplement.
I would hope
but
so.
But they did go most of the offseason with Jake Bauer as the first baseman.
That's true. Yeah, and maybe he catches on. Maybe he has a couple key hits in April, and suddenly it's Jake Bauer for MVP campaign. You know, I don't know. Like the late Luke Voit thing we had going on during spring training last year.
There's going to be someone that starts in AAA that people are going to be surprised by, whether it's Terang or whether it's Mitchell or whether it's Monasterio.
Yeah.
One of these guys is going to start, maybe multiple, will start in AAA, and I think people will be surprised by it. And I don't think it's going to be Joey Weimer.
Interesting, because we've gone, pendulum has swung a little bit. It used to be that Joey Weimer's, you know, made so much sense because he was the right-hander in a sea of left-handers. And now I feel like it's flipped. Now I feel like the Brewers' strength offensively comes from the right-handed side. And Joey Weimer might be, you know, might be an extra commodity. But I
still think he's in the lefty lineup. Like if you
oh, yeah.
Parse that down, who's the right fielder?
If Sal Frelick on the infield?
The lefty lineup. Well, I still think you would probably play Joey Weimer against lefties over Frelick.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
I am a Joe.
So then,
and what if Terrio's not on the roster?
Well, that's something we haven't even discussed that thoroughly. Like, are we sure he makes the roster? I would say this. I think it's always been a possibility that he doesn't. I certainly there are no signs to me that indicate that he won't, and also there's no data right now to suggest that he won't. You know, there's just no games, there's no feeling that it would change.
I am in the same boat as you are in this, and I mean, there's really not a whole lot in that front to like discuss or theorize until we see kind of how they look in spring.
Yeah, I agree, right?
But I mean, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense now to send Churio down for a month when you can, you know, get that extra pick if he wins Rookie of the Year.
I don't know, because we haven't talked much about Garrett Mitchell. I mean, the man is coming off of an injury that cost him all of last year, almost all of last year. He came back at the end, so he was back. But like, that's a still pretty big offseason for him that we haven't really spent a lot of time about. And I also think that I know that amongst people who follow the Brewers closely, this is clear, but I would not say it's clear to the wider populace that there are massive questions about Mitchell offensively, whether or not he's a, you know, regular big leaguer offensively. We haven't identified that for sure. The guy swings and misses certainly as much as our guy Keston Hira did. Mm-hmm. So and does he provide a little bit of pop? Is he an excellent – I mean, is he speedy? Is he an excellent defensive guy? Absolutely. All those things are true. But you
– Brewers have those guys too.
The Brewers do. Yeah. I mean, 100%. They've got that covered. I don't know if we can be certain that he is going to start the year with the Brewers, that he is a big leaguer for the Brewers. I don't think we've actually answered that question. It just seems like he's come up big in a few spots, so it isn't – you know, no one is down on Garrett Mitchell, and plus he's young, obviously. He's still developing as a player, but I don't know. I don't know what to make of him just yet.
I think the best way to put it may be that if you took the pieces of his profile and you extrapolated over an entire season, it would not lead to a very successful season. Like, I think he's still a good defender, and he's obviously a really plus runner and a great base runner. But the Brewers, like, also have those elite defenders already. Like Perkins, best center fielder in the universe. Joey Weimer is the elite defender. Jackson Churio should be a plus center fielder. Sal Frelick, we saw him. He's really good in the outfield and now might play infield as well.
Joey Weimer, not a center fielder in the minors and just casually slid over for a season to help a team out, played great center field defense, and they don't even need him out there. That's incredible stuff from him. We do not have enough respect for what Joey Weimer did last year on defense.
Yes, I mean, it's like there's not a clear spot for playing time for Garrett Mitchell. Maybe if Churio starts the year in the minors and Mitchell's your everyday center fielder.
Yeah,
too.
It's gonna. So it could be. Is it gonna be a choice between those two guys? I mean,
I think there's probably a path for both plus Joey Weimer on the opening day roster, but that would also that scenario probably requires Sal Frelick to be able to play infield too.
Agreed. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
And then you're not carrying three catchers.
Any last thoughts, Kurt, before I send you away?
No, I have no other thoughts.
All right. I closed down the Bucks podcast with this, and I would say that if a teenage TikToker asked me who my starting five podcast partners would be, I promise you, Kurt, you would be on the list along with Lori Nickel and Jim Ozarski on the Bucks podcast, on the Point Forward podcast. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just I don't know, Google Damian Lillard and what was the kid's name? I forget. Nelson. Shoot, I should know this. He's got a ton of followers and. Nelson the Magnificent. It's something like that. That's not it.
It has been a week for the discourse.
There has been some discourse with the Milwaukee Bucks. And you can hear all about
that. And the Brewers.
And the Brewers. That's right. You can hear all about that discourse on the Point Forward podcast. But this, of course, the Microbrew podcast, we're going to get these going. I believe every week we're going to have to talk to our guy Todd and find out what he's finding out. Down in Arizona, and then also, of course, as you get down there and as the season gets rolling, we're going to be doing these a little more regularly, and you can look forward to our voices in your ears, our smiling faces on your screen if you're seeing us on YouTube, and thank you for tuning in to this edition of the Microbrew. We will catch you again next week. Let's go. Bye-bye.